How y'all doing tonight? Doing good? Good. Well, it's December. It's almost Christmas time, right? You know, Christmas, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Amen. We often think about, you know, Christmas, and it's such a joyous time. And for those who are Christ followers, it's a time where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, right? And it should be this really just holy and precious time. But what has modern Christmas, what has modern December brought us? Anybody feel a little stressed out? Feel a little chaotic, right? We're supposed to be singing Silent Night, but man, I tell you, the nights feel anything but silent, you know? It's a crazy busy time, and the stress of Christmas can get to us. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is bringing back the silent night. Bringing back the silent night. You know, I always try to purpose every December to, you know, not go to too many malls and too many stores and get caught up in the busyness of it, which it's easy to do. But I try to bring back the silent night and remember what it's all about. So tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about some real practical ways that we can do that. We're going to look at the story over in Luke about the birth of Jesus, and we're going to see what that silent night was all about and see what we can learn from that and bring into our modern day Christmas celebration. You know, it's interesting. I looked up some facts, and, you know, 89% of the American population report and feeling increased stress during Christmas. So nearly almost all of the population feels an increased stress at Christmas. And the common causes are financial, gift-giving concerns, and family gatherings. Imagine family gatherings causing us some stress. Nobody in here, right? Right. You know, oftentimes the Christmas season can make people feel lonely. 1 in 3 adults say that December is the loneliest month for them. 64% of American adults report depression during the month of December due to the stress of all of the busyness and the holidays. But you know, we really, as Christ followers, should not fall into these percentages. Amen. You know, anybody ever heard of a concept called Advent? It seems like it's gotten popular, you know, just over the last few years. But Advent, you know, no one can really pinpoint that this is when Advent began. But the earliest they go back is in the 4th century. This was the 4 weeks prior to the Christmas celebration. It was the Christians in Spain that celebrated Advent. And Advent simply in Latin means coming of Christ. And you know, the connotation of it is not only does it mean the first coming of Christ or the birth of Christ, but also it denotes the second coming of Christ. And so Advent is basically just a time of preparation and reflection on the birth of Jesus, as well as the hope of his second coming. And I love that because not only was Jesus our Savior born, and we celebrate that at Christmas time, but we also have the hope of his second coming. And the time that we celebrate his birth should also be a time of hope and reflection on the time when Jesus will return again to take us up to heaven. And so in Advent, each week focuses on a theme: hope and peace and love and joy. And it's just a beautiful celebration of the month of December leading up to Christmas Day. So, you know, our modern day really has taken out the focus of Christ in Christmas and has replaced the Christ with chaos in Christmas. And so tonight, we're just going to look at a few simple ways that we can bring back that silent night. So number one, how do we bring back that silent night? We have to slow down to see the Savior. We have to slow down to see the Savior. You know, over in Psalms 46:10, I'm going to read from the NLT. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." I love what it says in the Passion Translation. It says, instead of "be still," it says, "Surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations." You know, it's only when we slow down and we stop and we get a little silent that we're able to really reflect on the Savior and the true meaning of Christmas. Let's go over to Luke. I love Luke's account of the birth of Christ. And let's read that and see what we can see about slowing down to see the birth of Jesus. So we're going to start over here in Luke chapter 2 in verse 1. It says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral town to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." Now, what can we see from this passage of slowing down? So it's interesting to note that they had to go from Galilee, right, to Bethlehem. And why is that interesting? So at the time of Christ's birth, Galilee was a bigger city. Its population was estimated to be around 2,000 people. Now, in today's modern society, that doesn't seem so big. But back in Jesus' times, Galilee, 2,000, it was a bigger city. It was like hustling and bustling. But Bethlehem was a very small town with a population of only 300 people. I think it's very interesting that God chose the birthplace of Bethlehem, that was a small town, not in the hustle and bustle of anything, but a small town in a manger in a field for Christ to be born. Because how many of you know that in a small town, things just operate a little slower? Anybody here from a really small town? And people just talk a little slower, and they walk a little slower, and they drive a little slower. You know, it's not the honk honk and hustle and bustle, right? And so life is slower in a small town. And so Bethlehem was a quiet town. It was a humble place where our Savior was born. That God gave his greatest gift in a slow, simple place and a simple time, which I think is of no coincidence. I think that we need to slow down, get away from the hustle and bustle and all the noise and the chaos, to really see our Savior and know what he is all about. How do we do this in our life? What's some practical ways that we can slow down during December and just see the Savior? Well, first of all, you can create intentional pauses. Create intentional pauses. Because trust me, in December, when there's so many Christmas parties and we gotta buy gifts for everybody and we gotta decorate the tree and bake the cookies, you are going to have to be very intentional and create those pauses. You know, we can dedicate, you know, even just 10 minutes first thing in the morning, just of reflection. You know, even if you just spend the first 10 minutes of your day reading Luke's account in chapter 2 of the birth of Jesus, it really just sets your whole mind on what Christmas is all about. And you know, maybe it's when you start to feel all the pressure and all the anxiety and it's kind of building up and it's like, oh my goodness, it's only, you know, 5 days until Christmas and I still don't have the presents wrapped and I've got 32 presents to wrap and how am I going to get it all done? Maybe you can create an intentional pause and you can just breathe. And just think about, why are we buying gifts in the first place? Why do we even have Christmas? It's because of Jesus, our Savior. So create intentional pauses during the day. You know, with our family, with Dawn and I and our sons, I wanted to model creating an intentional pause just to slow down in our day to see the Savior. And so our kids are grown, they don't live in the home, but we have the Bible app and you can do a devotional that takes like 5 minutes just digitally. So I messaged them and I said, hey guys, do you want to do a devotional leading up to, you know, Jesus's birth and the celebration of Christmas on what Christmas is all about? And they're like, yeah. And so we did that and we're doing that. We're in the process right now. And it's just really nice to take that 5 or 10 minutes and slow down and really reflect on what Christmas is all about. So creating those intentional pauses. How else can we slow down and see the Savior? We can limit the busyness. We can limit the busyness. You know, we can say no to all the chaos. It's okay. You don't have to attend every Christmas party. You don't have to, you know, participate in every cookie exchange. You don't have to do all the family traditions, right? You can pick and choose. You are in control of you and your schedule. And you have the capability to say no at any time, to limit the busyness, to limit the chaos. So you have an opportunity to slow down. And you know what? If that hurts people's feelings, that's not your responsibility. You know, I had somebody wanting to grab a lunch with me during the month of December. And man, I'm looking at every day in December and I'm like, well, you know, I got about 40 minutes that I could fit it in here, but I don't know, that's going to be cutting it close. And I mean, I tried, I looked at my calendar because I really enjoy fellowshipping with this person and I wanted to, but what I determined is that my schedule was so crammed and so busy that I had to say no. And I said no, and I could tell the person was a little disappointed, but we planned something for January, so it's all good. You know, not everything has to happen in December, right? So you are in control of you and your schedule, and remember that you can say no to limit the busyness so that you can slow down and really see the Savior and remember what Christmas truly is all about. Number two, how can we bring back the silent night? Well, we can choose peace over pressure. We can choose peace to have peace over the pressure. Let's look back again at Luke chapter 2 and see if we can find any peace in that night that Jesus was born. It says over in Luke chapter 2, let's pick up in verse 8. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flock of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angels was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." The angels declared peace on earth the night that Christ was born. Yet oftentimes in December, our celebrations don't bring peace, but they bring chaos, which is contrary to what was brought the night that our Savior was born. You know, Jesus didn't come to add to our burdens, but he came to what? Give us peace, right? Over in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." You know, Jesus came to bring us peace. But notice, he brought the peace, but you must choose it. How? In this scripture, it says, "Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done, and then his peace." His peace is always available, but we have to choose. We have to act. We have to do something to choose his peace over pressure. Over in Matthew 11, verse 28, let's look at that. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." You know, the peace that angels declared that night Jesus was born in Bethlehem is the peace that we must actively choose on a daily basis, but definitely in the month of December when it's so busy. And so how can we choose peace? Well, you can let go of perfectionism. Perfectionism and peace are never going to go together, because nothing is ever going to be perfect. And if you are trying to create the perfect Christmas, the perfect Christmas tree, the perfect decor, the perfect Christmas card, you are going to have anything but peace. You have to let go of that perfectionism. You know, if you are so concerned about the perfection during this Christmas season, you will definitely miss out on the peace of the Savior. And so we have to let that go. You know, I remember, and sometimes it's hard to let go of this perfectionism and this idea of how the Christmas season is supposed to go. Anybody ever take Christmas card pictures with young children? And you know, you're trying to get that perfect picture, and you know, everybody's coordinating with their Christmas outfit, and you got the dog in there too, and you know, you want the kids to smile and look at the camera, and the photographer's like, you know, making all these noises and clapping, and you know, the kids are looking around, and then the dog starts barking, and then the kids start crying, and then you know, you're hitting your husband like, "Just smile, I'll get the kids, just, you know, just look at the camera." And it's a mess, right? But you're trying to get that perfect picture so you can send out the perfect Christmas card so everybody can think that you're the perfect little family, right? So, but we need to let go of that because that causes so much stress. So I remember my husband and I, we used to do this with our boys, and it was just so stressful. And then they got to be like in middle school and high school, and their boys, they had no interest in taking a picture. They did not want to buy the Christmas matching outfit that I bought for them. And they would just gripe and complain. And finally, it just caused so much stress. I said, you know what? I'm just going to let go of that. And you know what we did instead? You know, we have iPhones and you take pictures all year long. So I decided instead of getting that perfect little Christmas family picture with the matching outfits, I was going to do a picture collage of just real life pictures all throughout the year to represent our family. And it was a lot less stressful. And I had a lot more peace, right? So I let go of that idea of perfectionism to choose peace. And sometimes that's what we have to do. I know this one time, this is actually a terribly sad story in my life, but I am just going to share it with you tonight because it illustrates this so well. So I have this tradition that my dad started with me when I was a little girl. And so he would take me every year to the Nutcracker because I took ballet and I love ballet and I still take ballet to this day. And so he would take me to the Nutcracker, and it was our tradition every December, and I loved it. So when I got married, my dad was so happy to pass that tradition on to my husband. And so my husband, he's taken me every year. And then when our boys got old enough, they were so happy to go with us on that tradition. And it was a night that I still to this day, I treasure it. Just a night that I have with my boys, and they're there, you know, participating and viewing something that I love. And it's payback for the many football games and basketball games and baseball games that I sat through in the freezing cold rain, okay? Heat of the summer. And so this is their payback. I look forward to this. It's my one night that I get to be a girl in a world full of boys. And so I always like to go. I take them to a nice dinner. I kind of bribe them with a steak, like, let's get a nice steak dinner, and then you can go watch ballet. And so we had gone out for the steak dinner, and I was like, oh, this is just the perfect night. This is so amazing. I've waited all year for this. And we pull into the PAC parking lot in downtown Tulsa, and I was like, well, this is odd. Normally this parking lot is like full and we're like fighting to find a parking space, but there's just empty. And then I looked over to the PAC and I saw the Nutcracker set being wheeled out of the building and loaded into a truck. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait, did I put down the wrong day in my calendar? Because I don't make mistakes like that. And so I quickly like grabbed our tickets and I looked at it. And then I looked at the calendar. We had missed it. It was the night before, and that was the last performance. And I paused for a moment because I just realized that my perfect night, that I wait 364 days so I can have this one day of perfection, was gone like that. And so I paused and I really just wanted to break down crying, but I was like, you know what? I am going to choose peace. No, this wasn't perfect because we didn't get to see the Nutcracker, but I got to spend a wonderful meal with my boys, and we had great times of, you know, laughter and fun. And it wasn't perfect, but I'm going to choose to have peace over perfection. I will tell you that I have checked and rechecked and double checked every year since then to make sure that I have the right date on my calendar, because I don't want that ever to happen again because it was sad. But sometimes we do have to let go of perfection to choose that peace. How else can we choose peace for this season? We can have daily gratitude. Daily gratitude. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, and the word talks about being thankful and gratitude a lot. This says, be thankful in all circumstance. Why? For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So we need to be thankful always, even in the middle of, you know, December. Psychological studies, I found this interesting. Last year, the UCLA Health Department actually did a study on gratitude. And this is what they found. Gratitude can reduce depression, anxiety, chronic pain, improve sleep, and lower your blood pressure. So if you got some high blood pressure, maybe you're not being very thankful. Maybe you should try this, right? It can also reduce toxic emotions like envy, resentment, frustrations, and regret. All from gratitude, right? And that's just like a secular study. Just people in general being thankful. Now we pair that with the word of God. Oh my goodness, imagine what gratitude can do in our life, both in the natural and in the spiritual, right? So take a minute every day and write down at least three things that you are thankful for. And yes, actually write it down, because there's many studies that show that writing something down, it actually has a connection with your brain and it implants it in your brain. And as you go through your day, when you start to get frustrated and feel that pressure, you can say, no, I'm going to choose peace because today I am thankful for 1, 2, 3. All right. So choose peace over pressure. All right. Last thing. How can we bring back the silent night? We can focus on people over presence. Focus on people over the presence under the tree. We're going to now go over to Matthew's account of the birth of Christ, because I want to look at this and how during that night of the birth of Christ that people were prioritized. So let's go over to Matthew 2. We're going to start in verse 9. So this is whenever King Herod, that the wise men had seen the star in the east, and King Herod wanted to, you know, kill Jesus. And so he called in these wise men, and he was like acting like he wanted to go visit, you know, Jesus, and, you know, was asking them about that. All right. So we pick up here. It says, after this interview, that was after their conversation with King Herod, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Notice, they didn't come in and be like, Jesus, here's your present, here's your present. What did they do? They bowed down and worshiped him first. And then they gave him presents. See, they prioritized and they focused on the person, on Jesus, because they knew that Jesus was the real gift. And sure, they wanted to honor him and bring him gifts, but they had their priorities straight. They focused on Jesus, the person, before the presence. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on people in our lives and not so much the presence. Do you know, this is really sad, but people go every year into extreme debt to buy presents for the people in their life. Actually, this is a survey done by a financial institution. Do you know that nearly 50% of Americans are still in December of 2024 paying off debt from Christmas from December of 2023? Over half, right? Still paying off their presents from last Christmas, and now they're going to buy more presents. You know, we really should focus on the people, because really, God values people over presents, right? What does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave what? A present? No, his only begotten son. That whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave a person so that he could have a relationship with each of us. God prioritizes people. Amen. And we should do that. We should prioritize people. And how can we do that during this month of December? Well, we can give time instead of gifts. We can give time instead of gifts. You know, spending time together as a family and having experiences is going to be remembered longer than any present that you're going to give somebody. You know, maybe it's getting together and, you know, walking through the Rhema Christmas lights and having hot chocolate and then going home and seeing a Christmas movie. You know, you don't always have to give physical presents. You can give your present of time. You know, I know that with our family to this day, you know, with my mom and my dad and all of my brother and I and all of our boys, you know, when we celebrate Christmas, if you ask any, you know, my kids or Craig's kids, like, hey, what's the best gift that Nana and Poppy gave you? They're probably not going to be able to tell you. But when you ask them about Christmas, you know what they talk about? Christmas Eve, when we go over Nana and Poppy's house, my parents' house, and my mom makes chicken and dumplings. And we sit around the table and we laugh and we talk. And Poppy tells stories and they laugh and they talk. And one time my dad, he like tripped and he hurt his toe and he was like going around and was like, ah, ah, ah. And to this day, all the grand boys still make fun of him for that Christmas Eve that he stubbed his toe. This is what they're going to talk about for their lifetime, not the present that was under the tree, but the time spent. That is worth way more value than any gift. So time instead of gifts. And then how else can you, you know, prioritize people over the presents and choose them? Help somebody in need. Help somebody in need. You know, Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. You know, some people are just not as blessed during the holiday season. They may be lonely. They may have absolutely nothing. And maybe you can help them. Maybe there's a single mom or a single dad that, you know, you can buy them a Christmas dinner. Or you can, you know, give them money or buy Christmas presents for their kids. Help somebody in need. I know there was nothing more impacting in my life, and Pastor Craig, my brother, will remember this because we were in youth group at this time. He may have been graduated and been a leader, but there was a family in our church, and it was a single dad, and he had nothing, and there were his kids. He didn't even have food, and our youth group, we got together money. We went and bought food. We bought presents, and we came into his house, and we brought a tree. He didn't even have a tree, and we decorated a tree. I mean, we were teenagers. We decorated the tree. We bought presents. We brought in the food, and just to see the joy, I mean, he was crying, the thankfulness. The kids were all jumping up and down that they had something to celebrate. We were focusing on people and blessing them. And, you know, my brother and I both have learned this from watching our parents. During Christmas time, both of my parents are always searching. You know, is there somebody that they don't have any loved ones and they don't have anywhere to go on Christmas and they're going to be alone? I never will forget one Christmas. My mom and dad invited over a man, and he was going through a divorce, and he was lonely, and he was going to spend Christmas all by himself, not with his boys. and he was really lonely. And he came over for Christmas and he had Christmas dinner and he just joined right in our celebration. And you know, to this day, that man, he's still in this church today, and he talks about how much that blessed him, that at a time when he was lonely and so depressed and in some of the darkest times of his life, that we were a light to him. And he's never forgotten that. And so we need to focus on people over presence. And really just tonight, I've just given you a few simple things to think about to bring back a silent night. And I really believe that if we slow down to see the Savior, and if we choose peace over pressure, and if we focus on people instead of presence, that we will take the chaos out of Christmas and bring the Christ back to Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you for giving your most precious gift of Jesus. And we are so thankful for this time of year that we can celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, and that we have the hope that he is coming again. And Father, just help us during this time, during this super busy season, to not be stressed out, to not be chaotic, but to remember, Father, the true reason that we are celebrating this season, Father. Help us to have peace, help us to have joy, help us to have hope, and help us to share your love with those around us that are in need. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You know what? Just as we end tonight, before we dismiss, and I know we have our prayer team, but before we do that, would you guys just stand with me? And I just want to sing Silent Night. Would you sing that for us, Anthony?
Silent night, oh, holy night, all is calm and all is bright.
Christmas season, that you do reflect on that silent night long ago in Bethlehem and bring that silent night to your home and to your Christmas celebration. Amen. Well, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can tonight. Or if you've walked away from him and you want to come back, or if you've never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or you want to do that tonight, or you need prayer for healing or for anything, you can come down here. Our prayer team is here. We've got ladies on this side and men on this side. They are so ready to pray with you about any need you may have. So as we dismiss, you can come down here. If there is any first-time guests, connection team, go ahead and take them. We will see you Sunday morning for our Christmas Land production. God bless you. Have a good night.